You have questions, we have answers. This is Jane Muller.
And this is Ken Muller. Welcome to our show, all about real estate with Ken and Jane. So today's topic is, why CCIM? Now, the first question is, a lot of the listeners are wondering is, what the heck is CCIM? It sounds like alphabet.
Yes.
Do you want to take a guess, Jane?
I know what it's for, I don't know what that stands for.
The acronym. Well, the acronym stands for Certified Commercial Investment Member. It's an organization. We're going to cover that today because it does deal with commercial real estate. So CCIM is an institute that was created in 1967. It's an institute of commercial members. There's a membership fee to be involved in it. And per their website, their purpose is to elevate the members in the highest level of success in the commercial real estate industry through education, technology, and networking.
Sounds like an NAR, National Realtor Association.
So it's a club like an organization in that regard. There's currently, since 1967, it has grown. Now there's about 27,000 members. It's a global institute, so it's worldwide. Mm-hmm. Who are the members? It's not just real estate agents and brokers. That comprises a little bit less than half, about 47%, but the remaining 53% of the members consists of investors, developers, consultants, property managers, tenant reps, landlord reps, corporate real estate executives, appraisers, lenders, mm-hmm. brokers, and others. So it's a whole network of anybody who has anything to do with commercial. It's just a beneficial organization to be a part of. They have articles that are published on their website. There is a whole bunch, conferences,
seminars.
Continuing education, seminars. There's different, you can always sign up for different commercial real estate things without pursuing what we're going to talk about is the CCIM, which is a particular designation, but you can just be a member of it. And you can just, if you're interested in commercial real estate, you can just take part in all that, mm-hmm. all that it has to offer for, there's fees for the classes, but they have an education, online learning, there's in-person classes. So it's really cool. They post everything that's going on with the commercial field.
That's great, Ken.
Yeah. So now we have within the CCIM website, we have something that's called the CCIM designation. It stands for the Certified Commercial Investment Member. And if you want to declare yourself as a CCIM, that's a rigorous program that involves education, having a certain number of commercial deals, transactions, and then also passing the tests. So we're going to talk about that. And then CCIM members are considered to be the established and proven leaders in the field of commercial. They've demonstrated their knowledge and skill set through, going through this rigorous program. Only about 10% of the commercial agents are CCIMs achieved that designation. So it's considered the pinnacle of the commercial real estate field.
Yeah, I think a lot of time, right, the agents and the public may be misunderstand. And by taking, by being a member, paid member, doesn't automatically grant you the certification of CCIM. For example, I remember 15 years ago when I started real estate, I was also involved in learning about a commercial because I started as a residential and a commercial agent a long time ago. And at that time, the broker I worked for, they have a special department and a training. You have to go through a certain training before you can handle the half million above transaction with the commercial. Because obviously, my understanding may not be the real reason. I think at that time I was under impression if commercial agent probably have to have the higher insurance premium or something. So they make sure the agent has to go through the training and then to do the commercial. Plus, obviously, you want to do the best for the public. You don't want an agent in residential field have never had a training and handle the commercial transactions. So that's why we had to Me and my best buddy, Karen Bars, we have to drive to the North Jersey, and she drove, by the way. And we have to went through a very, very tough training, and I have to pass exam. I think that was a CCM commercial, like
maybe one of the courses.
101 or something. The exam was pretty, you know, hard. So, but we both successfully, easily to pass it.
Right.
But we, I mean, for me, I never pursued the CCM because the course is a lot. It's very hard if you're a student just doing the study. That's one thing. When you have to work like, you know, 15 hours a day, 7 days a week, plus doing that, that's really hard. So I applaud to you, Ken. Congratulations, you successfully completed. I look into it 15 years ago, but I never brought myself together to go through it. Mm-hmm. And also, it's not only the study part. You have to have enough transaction.
Correct.
For it.
There's different methods, but normally the rule of thumb, we're going to cover that when we talk about the education. But right, you need, for the work portfolio, you need to, obviously, let's backtrack and talk about there's three components to the getting the CCIM. One is you have to take and pass each of the required four core classes, C101, which deals with the financial analysis for the investment, C102, which deals with the market analysis, C103, which deals with the user decision making, and C104, which deals with investment analysis. So they're all kind of interrelated. It's all about, a lot of it is financial planning, getting familiar with using the financial calculator, getting familiar with mortgages, the amortization schedules, understanding how calculating balloon payments, calculating to be a true commercial agent that's valuable, you have to understand the time value of money, because your clients out there are going to have different decision making processes. They can invest in this investment that's going to yield them, 7%, and then you have to understand before tax, after tax implications, rate of returns. You have to understand how to read a cash flow analysis worksheet with the calculate the net operating income. You know, what's the value based on the rate of return you want. So a lot of the things that are taught in C101, which is basically the T-bar and, you know, the present value, the monthly payments, that all builds upon it. You use that basic skill of knowing the present value, the interest rate, knowing the five variables and being able to solve for the missing one, you know, the end, the number of payments, the present value, the future value, the interest, the monthly payment. Those are like the items that you always are dealing with and you have to sell. That's C101. That's you're building a T-bar, and that's what you're kind of wrestling with. And those are simple problems, but then it gets quite more complicated when you have to, you know, look at a whole worksheet, a cash flow analysis, and come up with the, you know, different, and calculate the net operating income before taxes, and then you have to factor in the taxes to get really what's the rate of return after taxes. So you have to factor in the depreciation and the tax on the capital gain, the tax on the depreciation, and then the ordinary income tax. So those are different. So if to really have a good understanding of a CCIM, you're really partly an accountant and, you know, a banker, and, you know, so you, that's really, you're well-rounded in understanding this knowledge.
Well, once again, the reason for me to fail, when I used to, 15 years ago, did a training with a commercial, I found it's easy, maybe because I was a banker. I had a master's degree in banking. Right. So all the knowledge in that, even though it's hard, but for me, it's kind of a review of what I already learned in the past. But it is very challenging course. So there's no doubt about it. And I think also you would say, as an agent, real estate agent, why you need to be CCM, right? I think that all this knowledge is helping us to advise our client to make the right investment. We have to throw this cash flow, throw these courses to help the client understand the value, the
of
true
course,
value.
Because, yeah,
so that's the key, you know, how much it's worth, just like a residential, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been in that 15 years, a lot of house, right? And the people, I go to people's house and they said, how much my house worth? Here's the update, blah, blah, blah. Can you go home, research, and give me a report? I said, I can tell you now. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I already know the comps. I already know. So you have a new roof, you have a new bathroom, so on and so forth. It's very quickly, automatically, add and subtract in my head already.
Right.
I can give you a range, mm-hmm. you know. But in the commercial, the same thing. But
yes,
a commercial
absolutely.
Is a much, much more complicated.
Well, yeah,
you have to really understand
how to calculate it, and then
yes.
you can either rely on a lender, but you should be able to do it yourself. For example, I had a client right now who's looking at a medical portfolio, and he was going to put 30% down, would borrow. The commercial lending rates, depending on the type of product, could range anywhere from 7.5 to 8%. If the product we're going in on is yielding 8.5%, you have to be able to calculate and say, well, based on an 8% commercial lending rate, 30% down, your loan's going to be X amount. Your monthly payment, you have to be able to figure out based on a 25-year or 20-year amortization schedule with that interest rate, that payment amount, you should be able to calculate pretty quickly what the monthly payment is. And you have to say, well, okay, this product, based on the net operating income per year divided by 12, is going to yield you $16,000 a month, but your mortgage and your P&I payment is going to be $13,000 a month. So your overall yield for the year might be $3,000 a month times 12, $36,000. So you have to, your whole purpose is to advise the client so they can make an informed decision.
Yeah, whether that's
whether
worth
that product,
it, 30%
that risk
down.
Is worth it for the type of investment they're doing, if that's something they want to, you know.
Absolutely.
With.
Yeah, that's very important. Once again, as an agent, I always say we don't make a decision. Our role is to advise.
Your role is to be an advisor.
Right. How can I advise if we don't understand ourselves?
Right.
So that's why being an agent is very important, to get as much study as we can, much knowledge, skill with it we can, so we can help our client.
Absolutely. And commercial lending is a little bit different. It's a little bit trickier depending on if it's an owner-occupied or investment. There's different
yes.
there's different loan products, and not all commercial lenders or the banks are inclined to lend every type of loan that's out there. So you really have to understand the investment and to advise your client what the realistic interest rate will be.
Yes. And whether they can get a loan too. So don't waste time.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Why don't we take a short break? We'll be right back after these messages.
Location, location, location. Yes, that's right. A three-level building located directly on Route 18 in East Brunswick is for sale. A great opportunity to present your business and brand to more than 50,000 passing vehicles. Zoned highway commercial, this building is suitable for retail, service, and professional uses. To find out more, please contact Ken at 908-337-9448. Prime office space on Route 18 is available for lease. This versatile layout features private offices, conference rooms, and workstations, with options to lease from 500 square feet to 2,800 square feet. Ideal for lawyers, accountants, and any professional service provider. Convenience extends beyond the premises with quick and direct access to major highways, including the New Jersey Turnpike, Route 1 and Route 130. To find out more, contact Ken at 908-337-9448. You've got the questions. They've got the answers. It's All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller. Now let's get back out to our hosts, Ken and Jane.
Okay, welcome back to our show. We're talking about what is CCIM or why CCIM.
Why CCIM?
I guess that's the right. So we've covered briefly. There's four core classes you have to take, and each of those classes is pretty time consuming. I would say maybe 40 to 50 hours. You know, I did them all online, so each one takes about 40 hours. By the time you study the material, you do chapter tests, and then each of them has a final exam of its own. Which is, you know, it's open book, but again, it's, you know, you have to pretty much know your material. And then in addition to that, they require an ethics class, and then you need some continuing education, but then if based on the work experience, that can qualify as it. That's in terms of the educational background. Now we touched upon the other requirement. The second requirement for the CCIM is that you need a portfolio of qualifying experience. And this can be, there's different tracks. There's something called a fast track, where if you're in a certain managerial position, you can qualify based on your role and oversight abilities. But most applicants fall under, you need to do 20 transactions within the last 5 years, or you can do a more streamlined approach and have completed 10 transactions of $10 million or more, exactly 10, but they have to be, the total value of them has to be $10 million or more. And that was the track that I chose because it was less paperwork than doing 20, which is true. And then it's quite a detailed, when you submit your portfolio, it's quite a detailed worksheet on each transaction. You have to detail what your specific role is. And you have to write a paragraph on it. You have to document all parties in case they want to verify it. And then you have to have two proofs with each of those transactions that prove that you were on it, and namely have a paycheck that you're showing that you got paid for that project. And then a second proof might be a fully signed letter of intent or a contract with you signed where you're the witness or your reference in the contract. So they look at it quite intensely. And this is all, your portfolio is reviewed by somebody at the in Chicago at the CCIM Institute, and they must review it. And if they have questions, they'll kick it back to you. And if not, they'll approve you. And once you're approved and you've passed all the educational classes, then you'll get an email stating that congratulations, you're qualified for the next step, which is to sit for this month with this 6-hour final exam.
Oh, wow. So, tell us about your experience with the exam.
So the exam.
6 hours. Yeah, I can't.
So that,
forget about a 6-hour exam. I don't think at my stage of life now, I can sit there 6 hours without go to bathroom.
Yeah. Well, actually, believe it or not, I think I did go to the bathroom once. I had a lot of coffee, but usually I would go probably 3 or 4 times. But for this, I was just so concentrated. It was, before we get into the mechanics of the test, before then they recommend that, you know, since most people take them a few years to get this, they highly recommend you take a 2-day online or in-person review course, which I did the on-site review course on the weekend preceding the exam, which was given on a Monday, and it was from 8 a.m. till 2 p.m. And when they say 6 hours, it's open book, but believe me, it was like about 100 questions, but everybody needed, most people needed the full 6 hours, and there was people going in the, you know, there was different stories about some people having anxiety attacks and going to the, you know, not quite, but you really have to move on it because there's so many calculations that it's quite time consuming. Some of the questions they ask you you have to do a 5 or 6 year analysis of a lease portfolio, and they want to know the different calculations. So, but for me, one of the more stressful things was having to do everything on a laptop, and then I had to have the test on half the laptop, which is small, and then have my financial calculator on the other half. So I learned how to split the screen.
I still don't know how to do that.
And one of the more nerve-wracking things, again, which I told the CCIM organizers, is they have the questions. You have a next button, which brings you to the next question, of course, but then right below that is a submit button. And if you mistakenly hit the submit button, you're one and done, meaning that you cannot. So my stress was whenever I got to the question, I would make sure I rolled it. I moved the submit thing
lower.
So I don't mistakenly hit it.
Wow.
And that was very, and I think, and I was a little bit of a disadvantage because the better way to do the exam would be to have another screen so you could have more of your data on a separate additional screen. So I was limited to using my financial calculator for some of the calculations if I had more screen space, I would have brought up a quicker spreadsheet that could have calculated things quicker than me doing it by hand, because I had to like hand write out a whole analysis, which would have been much quicker. So because I didn't want to lose my financial calculator, but I didn't want to risk lowering the screen and then not being able to get back in and then wasting more time. So a lesson learned would be, if you're going to do this exam, have an additional screen, which actually somebody in one of the classes went out to Best Buy on that Sunday right before the exam and did buy another another screen, so she would have that ability to use that screen, you know, addition to her test.
Wow, can even take you 6 hours.
Yeah.
For me, maybe
6 10. Days.
Yeah. 6 days. I don't know about 6 days, but at least maybe 10, 12 hours just to read it, understood it, answer. I think a lot of time, right? The knowledge is one thing, but you have to be in the time stress. So that's something.
Yeah.
I left school long time now.
And it's sad, but it's funny because a lot of people, like with had, like, after 5.5 hours, a lot of people like myself had about 20, 25 questions left. And we're thinking, oh, man, if the questions are this time-consuming, we're all going to fail. But that was a common consensus that everybody had. And it turned out that the questions got a lot shorter and easier. More straightforward.
Yeah.
But everybody was getting, like, anxiety because thinking even one of the person who passed from our chapter was saying, oh, my God, I thought I was going to fail because yeah. I'm so far behind because they put all these heavy lifting questions mm-hmm. in the middle and, you know, towards the beginning. And then the end had these give me questions or more easier, less calculation questions, yeah. but you couldn't get to them. So you really yeah. had to really have to move on it. It was really
wow. Hard. Congrats. I truly admire you. I don't think I can do it. No way. That's.
Well, I think they have about a 65% pass rate or so for this time. And that's kind of like the average. So, but if you don't pass it, the good news is you can take the exam up to 4 times. I think they allow you to take it at, I guess some people could retake
only
it.
Only 4 times?
I think the next day they could take it and then they have, then it's, at subsequent, it's given twice a year, so
wow.
different locations. And apparently the one, this, I took it in Houston, but the time before that, I think it was given in Nashville, Tennessee. And for whatever reason, the fail rate was higher there.
I know why. If I were there, I know a lot of more interesting to do and a place to go, right?
Exactly.
The music, right?
Yeah, too many distractions.
Yeah,
right?
That's
too
right.
Many distractions,
that's right.
So yeah. that's, yeah. So that's the exam, and then it's a very nice experience because once you pass the exam, on that Monday, that evening, they have a celebration and they call it a pinning ceremony because everybody who becomes a CCAM gets a pin, a little nice pin.
Yes.
I didn't bring it with me, but it's kind of small. But and then you get pinned at the ceremony, and the people from the national are there, and all the chapters are there, and then they take you out for a little dinner, and they have a little champagne and some celebration. So. Just a nice overall event, to celebrate everybody's achievement. So
wow. Like they said, the good things come in small package, right? The
yeah.
pin is small, but
yeah.
you have to do a lot to earn it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So now we covered a lot of the stuff about the exam and let's say, so again, we said, why hire a CCIM? Again, it's only about 10% of the real estate professionals are CCIM, so 1 out of every 10. So it is that they are in the minority. So they've demonstrated they've got expertise in the investment analysis. They're trained in financial and market analysis. They go through those 4 classes, so they know how to crank out the numbers for you, which, again, when you're doing commercial, I think the difference between commercial and residential, a lot of commercial, it comes down to, you still want somebody, you want to work with somebody that's understandable, that you like, but it's not as... But you want the person, you want a result. You want they're looking
business,
at
invest, more business,
their business
decision.
So it's a business.
It's less emotional.
With the residential,
it's more emotional.
And you're dealing with part of the time. You're a therapist, you're a coach, you're
yeah.
a confidant. Where commercial, you're that too. You're a trusted advisor, but it's more, you're doing it on
business.
It's a business relationship,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So they can.
Hard data,
help,
right? Which is your strength.
They help them accurately evaluate properties, assess risk, and forecast the investment returns.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
That's what you're really looking at. If I invest in this property and it's going up 3% a year, and what's the market conditions, and what's my rate of... Because that's what they really care about. What's the bottom? What's the cash flow after, really before taxes, after taxes, and then what's the effective tax rate?
As you mentioned before, self-occupied and investment is totally different. Because
totally different,
self-occupied,
right.
you have to feel what you get out of it. I mean, a lot of value may not be able to demonstrate on the paper, but actually add to your business because you can modify the thing to your like, and you can be, there's a lot of other benefit to own your own location instead of...
I think from the lender's perspective, again, lenders are very cautious. Usually with commercial lending, some lenders, the rule of thumb might be that you have to put 30% down, although it could go as low as 25%, but it could go as high as 40%. I was talking to a lender that was looking at a particular investment product. They said, this bank said, oh, if we even consider it, we want 40% down, even though mm-hmm. the debtor is a medical doctor, very experienced investor. It's a medical portfolio. They said, well, we normally don't lend investment products, but medical, we might make an exception. But however, we want 40% down. We want the borrower to open up an account with XYZ Bank and put a 5% or 10% of the loan amount in there. So there are all these strings. So a lot of lenders are very cautious, are very picky.
For the commercial,
what they invest in. They really want to scrutinize it. I don't know if that's partly due to the...
It's more risk, much higher risk.
Especially when it's not owner-occupied, they view it as more risk, just like in residential, because they feel you have no skin in, they have to look at the lease interest, the tenancy, and then if it's the length of the lease and who the tenant is, and if they go belly up, then they're taking, so they factor all that into their analysis.
Absolutely.
So these are all things that the CCIM can help guide the commercial clients with too. Mm-hmm. Also, we have a high ethical standard. We adhere to a high ethical standard of fair play on professionalism, professional conduct to our peers. So that's another reason. And we have access to exclusive resources that non-CCIMs might not have. And lastly, there's a great network. So there's always somebody in the CCIM industry or your local chapter that can help network with you and share their knowledge is power. And everybody's, you're always learning, even if you get your CCIM. There's always things you learn every day, just like in residential. You learn about different loan products, about what they, so it's, you're always continually learning, and there's continuing education classes that all CCIMs take as well.
I think with the commercial, Ken, the network is more important than residential, because with residential, everything is up, on the MLS, so very transparency.
Right.
But with a commercial, a lot of deals may not be, they may on CoStar or LoopNet, but some of them... Could be just the resources they may know. A lot of player may not want a name to be mentioned. They don't want a listing. They just want to quietly, to do it. So the networking is much, much more important in commercial real estate compared with the residential.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. All right. I guess we're out of time. We hope you enjoyed this show on Why CCIM, and we'll see you next week. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thank you.
You have been listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller, airing every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. For feedback and suggestions for future topics, go to their Facebook page, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane, or email them at realestatewithkenandjane@gmail.com or call 732-898-2266.